Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Better late than never. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us this beautiful Monday morning. First Monday on the last half of the year, first Monday in July. Thank you again for being with us. Well, you know it is the first Monday of the month, and that means it is on, we're talking about stuff on the home front, and we have Jabir Nadir with us this morning. Good morning, Jabir. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing good, Gretchen. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. A lot of stuff going on with mortgages and stuff, not just rates. You know, we've got a lot of stuff to get into. We're going to save the rates a little bit, Jabir. I know everybody's waiting for the rates. We're going to talk about that a little later because there's a lot of stuff going on out there. You know, you saw the slew of stuff that I sent you. So
yes,
where
yes,
do we
yes.
want to start other than the, like I said, we'll get to the rates. Y'all just hang on. So what else is going on out there?
Well, I guess you threw a little curveball there because I know I usually start with the rates. So I don't know. I guess we'll see where we're gonna start. I know that a lot of the stuff that you sent actually stem from where normally we talk about the rates, but what's actually causing the rates to go down. So I'm not sure if you want to start there.
Well, if you want to start with the rates, go ahead. But like I said, there's a lot of stuff to get to. I know there's some question that one of the articles I sent you. Well, no, I'm not going to start with that one. Let's start with the one that talks about considering a mortgage refinance, even if you bought something recently. Because I actually was in a closing recently, and I know that my buyer had some questions because she thought she had gotten a different rate than what she ended up with, and I told her to go back and talk to the person that did her mortgage, and see if maybe there's some way to get it down. And a lot of people don't think that they can do that when they first apply for a mortgage. Can you talk a little bit about, the timing and whether or not that's a good idea?
Yeah, so, and I guess it ties back into rates again, because rates are dropping. I was going to say that refinance boom is coming along, but I guess you could really look at it as being in a refinance boom, and I don't believe that I've heard a lot of talk about it in the media as maybe a couple of years ago. Well, I say a couple of years ago, but we went through a very long period of time where the rates were really low, and it was just a very good time to refinance. I don't feel like I've heard a lot of people talking about it this time it has in the past, but it definitely is a good time to consider refinancing, just either for a rate and term refinance, or even recently I've had a few clients that have refinance, paid off some of their debt, and their new mortgage is still lower than their previous mortgage, and they no longer have the debts that they had previously. When I say debts, such as credit card debts, if you have any small student loans, sometimes it may be a good time to put student loans in there. And when I say small, maybe it may not be the best decision. Every situation is different. It may not be the best decision if you have a lot of outstanding student loans, but if you have very low amount of student loans, you can actually refinance into a lower interest rate than you're possibly paying on the student loans. So right now is a very good time for that. Now, as far as how long you have to wait to refinance, typically a lot of times you may want to look into maybe 6 months after purchasing to see if it's worth it, especially if you're going from an FHA loan to an FHA loan. You cannot refinance before 6 months anyway. But Yeah, there are a few clients that believe that you have to wait a certain period of time, whether it's a year or 2 years. I actually have a client recently that I could save her a lot of money, and she really believes that it's too early to refinance, which that's just based on what other people have told her. But you really have to ask yourself, what does that really mean? If somebody's able to save you money now on your monthly payments while the rates are low, and they do consider them to – they do anticipate them continue to be low throughout the remainder of the year. But if you could save the money now, it may actually be a very good time to look into it.
Now, what do you have to have in place? I mean, do they rerun your credit and all that when you if you go with the same company? Is it good to maybe shop around and consider switching companies? Talk a little bit about that.
Right. So, in regards to your first question, we will have to review your credit again, because your credit report is normally good between 90 to 120 days, depending on the company that you're receiving your financing through. So if you purchased a home 3, 4, 5 months ago, that credit report is no longer, it has expired, so we can no longer use that. So we will need to pull your credit again. Now, in regards to what company to go through, you could actually definitely look at the company that you're with now. Sometimes people believe that you may actually save money by going through the same company. But there are always closing costs involved whenever you refinance. So even though a company may say that you may save money by continuing to use them, it's not necessarily a bad idea to check to see what other companies are offering as well as far as the cost for you to refinance. Okay, if you don't check, then you really don't know if you're actually really saving money by continuing to use the company that you went with initially to purchase your home.
Okay. And then the other thing that and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking if you can pay your closing costs outright and not have them incorporated into the loan, it's probably better, right?
Yes. And depending on your current financial situation as far as, well, when I say financial situation, not only in income, but in credit and the amount of equity in your home, the rate may be so low that you may be able to take a slightly higher rate, which will still be much lower than the rate you currently have now. And the lender will actually give you a credit towards your closing costs. So if you don't want to finance the closing costs in your loan, you could actually receive a lender credit to pay those closing costs, or you could pay the money out of pocket. Now, one thing that to consider is that if you currently have an FHA loan, you definitely are escrowing your payments, which includes your taxes and insurance. If you have a conventional loan, there's a chance that you may not currently escrow your taxes and insurance. But whenever you refinance and you want to include your taxes and insurance in your loan, they are going to collect for taxes and insurance. So right now, if you were to close in July or August, they're going to collect about 11 months of taxes, and they're going to finance that within your loan. If you do have the ability to pay that out of pocket, I would highly suggest it, because your current mortgage company has an escrow account that they're going to refund you in about 2 to 3 weeks anyway. So if you can take that money out of pocket to set up your new escrow account, I would definitely suggest that instead of you financing that new escrow account over the course of 30 years. Because you are going to get that money back, as I just mentioned, in about 3 weeks anyway, from the time that you pay off your old mortgage.
Okay. All right. So take some time, sit down, look at your finances, determine whether it's the right time to refinance, and if you've got some credit issues that you need to take care of, get that taken care of quickly before you go in delving into the refinancing. Even if you have some credit issues, you might want to talk to your mortgage company, see if there's something you can work out. So what else we've got going on? Another article I wanted to get to. And by the way, for those of you that are wondering if it really, benefits you, according to this article that I did post on the G's Power Hour Facebook page, it said you could possibly typically save up to more than $150 a month. That's some gas and groceries, y'all. So just remember that. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was this thing, the article about African Americans. Apparently are twice as likely to be denied a mortgage than white homebuyers. According to this article, and they took data from like 2016, which was the most recent data that they had on this study, 26% of African-American applicants were denied home mortgages then. Only 10% of white applicants were denied mortgages that same year. So can you talk a little bit about why this is still going on?
Well, I believe there's actually two parts to, or two reasons. There are definitely a lot of banks, and we continue to hear about class action lawsuits or about against certain banks. I believe the most recent one that I read was against Wells Fargo, where it's crazy that they even took it this far, that even in emails that were going out within a certain branch, I do not remember the branch or the state. It wasn't in Florida. I believe it was somewhere in the Midwest or even the West Coast that they consider, they refer to black and brown people as mud people in their emails. This is actually in the Wells Fargo emails. That's crazy. That's even still happening to this day. So maybe not necessarily the bank as a whole, but I do believe that depending on a particular branch or maybe a certain area of the United States, that there's definitely discrimination that a particular branch may be practicing when it comes to certain type of home buyers. And then, so it's not necessarily that the program, FHA or Fannie Mae or, you know, any type of loan program is necessarily discriminating, but I do believe it may be branch specific. But I do believe that it could discourage certain home buyers, because if you're turned down by Wells Fargo or Chase or even if it's a large brokerage like, say, Quicken Loans or Rocket Mortgage, sometimes people stop their search there and say, oh, I just got turned down, and they don't search at another branch or another brokerage to see if they could get financing. So if that is the case, I definitely suggest that somebody, if you are turned down, to find out the reason why you have been turned down, and also search to receive financing from another company if possible. Now, on another side, and I know we will probably come up on the break time. Do you want to continue after the break, or I know?
No, go ahead and continue now.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So, but on the other side, outside of discrimination, which as I do admit, there's definitely hard evidence that people discriminate against discriminating against black and brown people, but there are a lot of cases that the black and brown people, minorities, may not be fully educated on the process, because I've run across this in many cases where somebody may come to me and they believe that they're ready to purchase a home, and we have to go through a process where maybe 3 months, 6 months, sometimes even 9 months in order to get them on pace to purchase a home. Now, as lenders actually start to loosen up on guidelines, there are a lot of what we refer to as non-QM, but they're basically portfolio loan programs that are a little bit more lenient when it comes to the lending guidelines. But the only thing is, because these are portfolio loan programs and they're not a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, VA, USDA loan, the rates tend to be higher and the costs tend to be higher. Now, these are not bad loan programs. They do serve a specific purpose, but there are other people who I believe could benefit if they had somebody put them through a program that may take them, you know, as I mentioned earlier, 3 to 6 months, not even 9 months, and they're able to get into a FHA or conventional loan program at a lower cost. So I do see that people are starting to push people into these other high-cost programs just so they can actually, on their books, have a new mortgage that they close for the month, or for the agent they may be working with, their agent's able to say, okay, well, we sold the house, and they move on. So I do think part of it is definitely education. A lot of people may not know the correct process and how to properly prepare themselves to purchase a home.
Right.
And it may be totally different in the other communities as far as what they understand in regards to the purchase process.
So if you are educated on the process, or you can, you know, most realtors will help the buyers make sure that they've got all the pertinent information. I mean, and you know, don't rush it. Sometimes it feels like a crash course, you know, but there's a lot of things that to take in when you're considering buying a property. And buying a property is a key to having wealth here in our country. But the one thing I would say is if you suspect that you're, you know, being discriminated against, get your details, ask questions, get, you know, as many relevant documents as possible that, you know, in order to, and, you know, try, look into their record, too, look into the record of the lender that you're going to use. And then also, if you suspect that you're not going to get anywhere, maybe check with a community instead of one of the bigger banks, a community bank or credit union or lender or something, because they know the neighborhood. And they may be, you know, more willing or may be more understanding, I think, in terms of getting you the mortgage that you need. So. But we're going to take a quick break.
Yes, I totally agree.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more on it. If you have questions for Jabir, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. We're here with Jabir Najeer on the home front. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had a So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Hi there. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking about matters on the home front with Jabir Najeer. And Jabir, one of the things that I saw was something about an article about keeping borrowers from defaulting on their mortgages. That, you know, a lot of times we tell borrowers to bring, you know, a lot of cash to the table. But that might not necessarily be the way to help them out in the long term. Or I guess maybe you have to strike a balance. Talk a little bit about the default rate that you see on mortgages and the reasons that that happened and how borrowers can prevent that from happening.
Yeah, so one of the biggest ways, I believe, is just to purchase within your budget. I'm starting to see more and more buyers stretch that dollar a lot more than they probably should. And even mm-hmm. though the guidelines will allow them to purchase a property because they meet the debt income ratio limits, there's a lot that we don't see when it comes to your everyday life, when it comes to your spending habits. We don't know how much you spend on entertainment, going out, traveling, shopping, those type of things. So when a buyer is purchasing a home, they may have a certain idea in their head initially how much they like to spend on a mortgage. And when they start mm-hmm. to look at homes, maybe that budget, the monthly payment budget they had in mind and what we talked about as far as their pre-approval, they're seeing houses and now they're starting to stretch a little bit more. And now it starts out by increasing your payment $100. Before you know it, they're increasing it by $200 or $300. And then they're, especially those who may have an hourly job, they'd be like, okay, well, if I pick up a extra hours monthly, I can afford this house because they really, really want this home. And the thing is that when you're going through the shopping process, it may seem like a good idea, but one thing to keep in mind is that you have to continue to work these extra hours that you you can work
right.
for the next 30 years in order to pay off the home, unless you refinance, of course, later on and hopefully refinance into a lower rate. But yet to that energy you have, whenever you're purchasing a home to work those extra hours, you have to keep in mind you have to continue to keep this up 3, 4, 5, 10 years from now in order to continue to afford that home. So that's probably the top reason I could see people having issues when it comes to increasing defaults. And then the other thing is, and if we're referring to the same article here that you sent over, putting down more money down. And sometimes that extra money you're putting down doesn't make a big difference in your monthly payment, but of course there's a lot less money in your account now that you put into your home. So if you do run across a month where you have less hours, that you work less hours at work because they cut back on hours, you can't reach into your bank account and spend that money anymore because that money is now tied up into your house. And
right.
generally speaking, the only way to get that money out is through a refinance or a line of credit. So now you've depleted your savings in order to put more money down on the house, and you don't have that money available. So what do most people do? They reach and they take out credit cards. And I believe we talked about on the last show that I've had a lot more people recently contact me to refinance their home to pay off credit card debt that they accumulated over the last year. And they had to reach to the credit cards to help carry them over, you know, whether it's repairs to the home, helping a family member out, you had car troubles and you had to bring your car into a mechanic and you didn't have the money, so you took out a credit card to pay those bills. And then now it stretches over to your home that now you're tied on reserves. So now you may have to make arrangements with your mortgage company to continue to make the mortgage payments.
Wow. Yeah. That's not a good thing. So basically you're going to have to modify your expectations sometimes when you're looking for a home, you know. And, yeah, it is good to have a good substantial amount of money down to make sure that your payments are manageable. But at the same time, you really need to have that backup. What a lot of people call the emergency fund, and I think it's usually about 6 months worth of payments or something like that. You need to have something.
And that is the thing that with the underwriting guidelines, especially for those who have a higher credit score,
mm-hmm.
we use a system, an automated underwriting system. When I say we, the whole industry, for Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, VA, it's a desktop underwriter. And for Freddie Mac, it's a loan prospector. So if you have a higher credit score, the system will actually approve you even if you have sometimes a dollar left to your name after closing. Or if you have a lower credit score, the system would consider it to be a higher risk, so they want you to have a little bit more money left over after closing. And it differs from client to client. So for some people require you to have 1 month, some people require you to have 3 months of mortgage payments and reserves after closing. But as I mentioned before, with a higher credit score, you can literally have no money left over after closing, and the system will still approve you. So we're able to get you into the mortgage, but that's for you being the buyer to make sure you understand your financial situation, that you are moving into this home with no money left in reserves in some cases. And know that depending on how your job is, the industry you work in, if you deal with a slow season, certain jobs have slow seasons. So you may, you know, whether that's during the holiday season or during the summer season, depending on the industry, you may run into some challenges later on.
Yeah. Definitely don't want to go into any kind of closing on any property without having something left over, because there's always things that come up. I mean, maybe you've planned for furniture, but you didn't plan for other expenses, you know, and you still have to fill the refrigerator when you move in and all type of buy laundry detergent and have all of the appliances that are necessary. You know, because a lot of times when you move into some of these houses these days, some of them don't even have refrigerators. That's another expense, major expense when you're going in. So you have to have. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, a lot of times, you know, it's the small stuff, connecting the electric utilities and the deposits that they need to connect the utilities. And just some of the little stuff wherever you're moving to a new home, whether it's you're spending a lot more money on the initial cleaners the lining for the cabinets, whatever it may be, and these $3-4 here and $10 here and $20 there, before you know it, you spent you spent $500 today that you didn't plan on spending, or you didn't budget for whenever you were actually going through the process of purchasing your home. Those are some of the little things that you don't think about. So now you're actually digging further and further into those savings. So just something else for you to keep in mind when you are purchasing the home, some of those small expenses.
Yeah, and if you're a first-time homeowner, lawn equipment, don't forget that. You've got to have the lawn equipment.
Even the boxes just to pack up, pack the plates and other furniture and clothes, that is actually an expense that you do have to budget for.
Yeah. We have.
With your movement, it seems like there's a no bottom to the money, so the money just continues to pour out of the account.
Oh my. So anyway, yeah, just make sure that you're kind of balancing things out, have enough money. I mean, even for those, I don't see any much anymore, but even those loans that you may not have to, I think VA is maybe the only one, but any of those loans where you don't have to bring little to no down, you still want to have ample amount to come to the table with and pay all the expenses with, like the inspections and appraisals and other stuff, insurance, all that kind of stuff. But you also want to have money to make your house a home, and you don't want to be in a position where you're working and you're working overtime just to make sure that the house is taken care of. So when we come back, Javier, I want to ask you about there's something about an article about whether or not we should get rid of the mortgage interest deduction. So I want you to kind of explain what that is and whether or not it's needed or what your thoughts are on that. So if you have questions for Javier, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. We are taking a quick break. This is G's Power Hour. I've never had some good entertainment, and we will be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweepers redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Here on the home front with Javier Najera. And the number, if you have questions, is 516-387-1944. By the way, something I came across, I just want to share with you, and I will be putting the post on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. There is a homeowners workshop this evening, 6 to 8 p.m. in Eatonville at the Denton Johnson Center, 400 Ruffle Street in Eatonville. So I will be posting that, and you can get in contact with them and get some more information, and maybe there's something that will benefit you there. So the mortgage interest deduction, Javier, can you explain to our listeners what that is and, the benefits, the pros and cons of having that? Hello?
I'm sorry, I just noticed that. I mean, sorry about that. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me.
okay.
So the mortgage interest deduction, basically on your tax returns, and this is one of the big benefits whenever you own a home, is you can actually write off the interest that you pay on your mortgage, and as well as the taxes, the property taxes that you pay for your property. property taxes on your, you can write those expenses off on your taxes. So that deduction means that you're actually taxed on less income than what you made. So normally if you're renting, whatever your income is for the year, so let's just say you made $50,000 for the year, you would be taxed on the $50,000 that you made. Now, let's say between your mortgage interest and your property taxes, you paid $15,000, for example. Then you would be taxed on $35,000 instead of the $50,000. So that is one of the big benefits of homeownership, is that those home expenses you can write off on your taxes, so you're not taxed on that income. Now, what they are considering, or not considering, but what they have been talking about, the article that you mentioned in the Forbes article, is removing the tax deduction and just have lower taxes. And I think one of the things, one of the ideas behind that is that it doesn't really push people to become homeowners as much, but it also would allow people to spend more money on living instead of taking on the expense of a home. So one of the other things that happens whenever there is a downturn in the economy, that people tend to spend less. You're not traveling as much. You're not shopping as much. But you still have that mortgage interest that you could write off. So people more so focus on their mortgage, or, of course, keep the roof over their head, as opposed to shopping and enjoying life and just basically living life. So the idea is that if there's lower taxes, people will spend more money on living life and won't be so forced to purchase a home in order to receive those tax benefits.
Okay. So, yeah, I just was curious about that because there's, you know, I mean, it seems like there's, I guess, a good and a down and a bad side, depending on how you look at it. According to the article I sent you, you know, some economists say we should get rid of it and just go with lower tax rates, but then a lot of people, I think, look forward to having that deduction around tax time, you know, to I guess, get a little bit of something back in the pocket, possibly. So,
That's one of the things that it does. It does help to promote homeownership, but if you take away that benefit, then maybe for some, not saying that that is the final deciding factor for a lot of people, but if you're taking away some of the benefits for homeownership, then it may not promote homeownership as much.
Yeah, and I am all for anything that promotes homeownership, just because I just think that it is just a really solid foundation to have, you know, for yourself. And I also agree with having investment property as well. You know, I still say, I mean, because we'll always have some people that just don't want to or can't purchase homes, you know, and then those people are the renters. But if you can own your own home or you can own property, it really is a solid asset to have.
So, I definitely agree. And it kind of brings us back to the, I think it may have been two shows ago, if I remember correctly, maybe three. And we were discussing that they were talking about increasing the minimum down payment requirement for those who are looking to purchase. Mm-hmm. So it just seems that there's a lot going on that may, you know, who knows how this may affect us, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. But it seems that there's a lot going on that really start to push people from not having too much benefit from purchasing a home. You know, they want you to put down more money, and now they're discussing possibly taking away the tax deduction that you would receive whenever you purchase a home and you're making those monthly payments. So I don't know. It seems like it's pushing that maybe one day there'll be a much smaller group of people who own homes and everybody mm-hmm. becomes renters if they continue down that path.
Wow. Interesting. Okay, I want to also go to, there's an article that I came across, something about nine housing and mortgage trends for the rest of the year. And you kind of mentioned one of them, and that's they're looking at the rates to be, you know, to remain low. And we can, I guess, go ahead and talk about the rates now, because it never seems to go away. But so what are you finding for the rates right now?
Rates continue to tick down. For conventional rates, they're down to a 3.8 as the average, and with FHA down to a 3.6. So a year ago on conventional financing, we're looking at 5.05 was the average 30-year fixed rate, and with FHA, about a 4.62. So we're about a point, or even in the case of conventional, a little over a point, a full percentage point lower than we were a year ago. So these are really some of the lowest rates that we've seen in going on 2 years. And if they continue to go down this trend, we may even continue to see some of the lowest rates ever again, which we weren't necessarily expecting. But as the economy, they believe, is starting to slow down, we're still considered to be in a very good economy. But when you're looking at the details of the numbers, it seems that things may be slowing down a little bit. So they're lowering the rates in order to continue to promote having a healthy economy and make sure that people are purchasing, spending money, and by having and borrowing money, because the cost of borrowing money is less now. And in turn, it makes the same home that you may have been looking at 6 months ago, even if the price is the same, the purchase price is the same, the payment is lower because the interest rate is lower. Or even in the case where that home may have actually gone up in price, that home will probably cost you the same monthly because the cost of borrowing the money is actually less today.
Yeah. One of the reasons it's good to have a low rate right now, too, is because apparently the price of the houses are continuing to creep up. That's one of the things in this article, that you're getting, I guess, less bang for your buck, it seems, in some of these cases.
Right, yeah,
that's definitely something that's continuing to go on as prices go up, even though the rate at which they're increasing may have slowed down. I don't want anybody to misunderstand the data that when it comes in, the prices are still going up, but just at a slower pace. And the reason I mention that is because recently I was speaking with a client, and they believe that they were turning around whenever they read the article in regards to the price, the home prices are increasing at a slower rate. They took it as prices are starting to decrease, as far as the price of the homes are actually starting to go down. So it's just that they're not increasing at a high pace as fast as they were before.
Right.
So even though they're increasing, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, the home prices, the rates may be going down and the home prices may be creeping up, or maybe not going up at all. But the thing about it is you've got to ask, is the income going up? Because if people don't have enough money to pay for the house, it just really doesn't matter if the rates are down and if the prices are going up, or if they stay stable or they go down. Because we've got to take a closer look, you know, at the income. I can't really stress that enough. People's incomes are not matching the other stuff that's going on.
Right. No, that's definitely 100% true. And we are facing an affordability issue. And a lot more people are finding it hard to afford housing. One thing I would definitely suggest, as we mentioned, that, and some people may consider renting as they wait out the market. But we also have to remember that the cost for renting is also increasing as well. So it may actually be to your benefit to go ahead and purchase a home now, and know that at the bare minimum, you can lock in a payment for the next 30 years, as opposed to continue to rent, and the rent for your current, whether it's home or apartment you're renting, increases, and you have to either consider whether you're going to pay more for rent, or you have to pack up your stuff and move somewhere else and find a place that's cheaper to rent. And if you're like me, I don't really like to move a lot, like getting to a place and sit there for a while. So the best thing probably is to purchase a home. That way you know that you can actually lock in that payment as something that's affordable to you.
Yeah, moving is not – well, I mean, some people like it. Moving is not fun. Not really. So.
Right, no, not at all. And has the tax benefit for purchasing a home is here, still, and if they continue to have it here, because as we mentioned earlier, that's one of the things that a lot of people look forward to when they purchase a home, you actually may be able to save more money because either the amount that you have been receiving for a refund every year, that amount would go up, or if traditionally you had to actually pay Uncle Sam when the tax season comes around, maybe you won't have to pay anymore because now you're actually being taxed on a lower net income than you were before.
Okay. Well, what other trends there? Oh, well, we've already kind of touched on it. That one thing is about the affordability, which I get frustrated with that because I see a lot of these new home subdivisions going up, and where they claim to start in terms of houses, they put them, I guess, right in the 200s, but it's usually mid to upper 200s, and that's supposed to be a base model house. And then obviously they don't show you a base model house, you know. So by the time, you know, it's tens of thousands of dollars more for the house that they're showing you by the time, you know, you get a chance to look at that house. So I really wish we could get the builders to kind of get more on board in terms of building affordable houses, and not in affordable houses. Let me make it clear, affordable houses, not cheap houses. You know, don't want anything that's poorly made. Yeah, I mean, seriously, we don't want anything that's poorly made. You know, like I said, because the incomes are not keeping up, but everybody deserves a place to live. And we've got to make sure that all these little spots, it seems like every little piece of land that may have been treed and just vacant, I'm not even going to go in terms of the environmental impact that some of this stuff has. But it's just a matter of building these homes and just not having people that need a place to stay that just can't afford to go to move into a new home.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree with that. And if we're able to get the builders to, well, I guess it also depends on thinking about it. There's also cost of land alone that is higher, as there's less supply available out there, which is also what's also pushing the prices up. So, yeah,
right.
It's going to be a hard thing to get builders to get on there as well, because I'm not sure exactly what the margins are at, but I do know even this cost of just bare land is just a lot higher than it has been in the past. In certain cases, there's not land to purchase. I definitely had a few clients looking for land, and they just weren't able to find something in the area that they would like to live.
Let me ask you about another trend that was in this article about lending standards. Supposedly easing a little bit. Is that truly the case?
Yes. Both on FHA conventional and even the, as mentioned earlier, the portfolio loan programs, the non-QM programs, they definitely have been easing up a lot over the years, but I would definitely say over the last 2 years, we definitely see them loosen up a lot more. So that's mm-hmm. where they're allowing clients to go to a higher debt-to-income ratio, meaning that more of your income could be used to pay the debts, your monthly liabilities on credit. And we're able to get homeowners or buyers into homes at a lower credit score. And a lot of other lenders actually offering programs for those who have lower credit scores. So you're able to get into FHA mortgages at a 580 score for 3.5% down. If you have less than the 580, then it's 10% down. But then other lenders are actually offering their own in-house down payment assistance programs. So they'll actually give you 2% towards your down payment, so you only have to come up 1.5%. So little by little, they're actually loosening up on guidelines and actually offering other additional benefits in order to make it easier for homeowners to get into the homes. When it comes to the portfolio loan programs, we have programs that are able to get clients into homes with 1 day out of bankruptcy, even 1 day out of foreclosure for those who have a higher down payment. There are situations, somebody may be listening and ask, well, if you just went through a foreclosure, you know, you may not have money. But there are situations where because of the process that it takes for the banks to foreclose on a home, some people will actually just save their money through that process until the foreclosure has been finalized. And since they haven't been paying a mortgage payment that whole time, now they have a lot more money saved up to put down on a new home. So as long as you're not buying a home that just got foreclosed on, there are a few of our lenders that will allow you to purchase a new home, even though you just got foreclosed on yesterday. So there are a lot of programs out there that there are some good to that, and then also some not so great to that, because some of it reminds me of back in 2006-ish when it came to the loose lending guidelines.
Right.
Not quite there yet, because there are certain things that were put in place during the Obama administration when it comes to primary homeowners, and that is a lot of the stated loan programs. Even though stated loan programs are back, they're not back for primary homeowners. They're back for investors. And the thing is that back then, even if you could not prove your income, you're looking to purchase a new home, it almost didn't matter what your profession was. You could just basically state whatever you like to state as your income, and they didn't go back to check to see if that was even a if it was even reasonable for your position to make that amount of money. And you didn't,
right.
You just assume it's just more on good faith. They say, okay, well, this is your job. We're able to verify you work here, but we're not going to collect any information on your income. So with the Obama administration, they said that we have to prove that that person has the ability to make the payments on that home. So whether we're verifying through W-2s and pay stubs, or as mentioned in the previous shows, we have a bank statement program, which is only for those who are self-employed, where we look at the deposits going in your personal or your business account to make sure that the income is actually really there. So that is the one thing that will that kind of saves us from going down the same path that we were going down before, but those restrictions aren't there for investors at all. If you're looking to purchase an investment property, you really don't have to prove any income if you have the down payment.
Wow. Okay. I want to elaborate a little bit on the foreclosures, because I get asked about foreclosures all the time, and I'm usually a little leery about dabbling into the foreclosure market, but I know it's very appealing to a lot of people. What is the key if you want to purchase a foreclosed property for yourself as a primary residence? What do you usually have to bring to the table when you're making an offer on a foreclosed home?
Well, it's the same thing when it comes to purchasing a home for sale by owner, because whenever it comes to FHA, conventional, you going through the finance, and the bank doesn't have a separate set of guidelines for a foreclosure, because all a foreclosure really is somebody wasn't making the payment on their home, so the bank took the home back. It doesn't necessarily mean that the home is in disrepair, because there are of course cases where the home is in disrepair, but there are many cases where there's a family living in the home and they really took care of the home, but they faced whatever hardship and they just couldn't afford it anymore. So they are going to go through the process of, when I say they, it's normal anyway, even on a for sale by owner, to have an inspection. So they do want to make sure the home is in livable condition, and they also want to make sure that the home is appraised for at least what the amount that you're buying the home for. So the process is really the same as long as the home is in good condition. Now, you may face some difficulties if the home is in disrepair and you're looking to receive a standard FHA or conventional loan, and the bank is not willing to make certain repairs to bring the home up to standard. So in those cases, the best option would be for a FHA 203K loan or a rehab loan through conventional loan program to take care of those repairs that need to be done to the home. But other than that, the financing portion of it for a foreclosed home is exactly the same.
Okay, so should a person wait in terms of purchasing a foreclosed home, should they wait until the home has gone through the foreclosure process, or should they attempt to make a purchase prior to that?
I would say if they can make a purchase prior to that, only because depending on what it goes through in foreclosure, if, especially if it's a home within a certain price range, there may be investors that are looking to purchase a home right there on the courthouse steps before you have a before you have the opportunity to go through your financing because they have cash. So if you're able to deal with the seller directly, who will work with their bank to sell the home to you, I would probably say that may be the best option. Because I'm not really sure if you're going to really get a lot of the great discounts on a foreclosed property that people may have seen in the past. Because I do run across clients who believe they're going to get a home for 50% of what it's worth because it went through foreclosure, which isn't necessarily the case. Because if a property went through the foreclosure process and the bank puts the home up for sale, if you're going in at 50% or 75% of the value, trust me, there are a lot of people out there that's willing to put an offer for the full value of the home, especially where we're dealing with an inventory situation where it's, in many cases in a certain price range, there's just not enough houses on the market for buyers in a certain price range. So there's somebody out there that while you're going to the bank at a discount, another person's coming to the bank and saying, hey, I'll offer you the full value for the home. So that's, you know, one thing for people to consider that, you know, even though you know, there are articles that may seem as if the market's going more toward a buyer's market or just evening out a little bit more, sellers are still selling homes in 30 to 45 days. They're not having that issue with homes being on the market very long.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that because there are a lot of people, I think, that think that because it's a foreclosure, it is automatically a discounted property, and that is just not the case. And you just, depending on what's going on, you may end up with more problems than, you know, good out of buying a foreclosed home.
I think a lot of times people associate a foreclosed home with an abandoned home in disrepair, and that's not necessarily always the case. As I mentioned, there's a lot of families who, you know, wife, husband, kids, every day they come home, they take care of the home, they love their home, but sometimes people go through certain hardships, and they still take care of that home until the day they have to move out. They don't. There are cases where you hear people start to tear up a home because they're mad at the bank for whatever reason. And, you know, they tear up the home before moving out. But there are many cases that, you know, people take care of the home until the last day they have to move out. Now, they may not go through the process of, you know, go through extensive repairs on the home, but they will keep the home clean and in livable condition until the day they have to move out.
Right. Well, I think we blew past the last break. But anyway, how do people get in contact with you here?
Well, you're always able to contact me by email at Jabir, J-A-B-I-R, at Ryan.com. That's R-I-A-J-A-N.com. Or you can always reach me toll-free at 888-326-0285. Once again, that's 888-326-0285.
Okay. Thanks for taking the time out today. Really appreciate it.
Be on as always.
And I just wanted to let everybody know, and I am going to post this information on the D's Power Hour Facebook page, but I wanted to let people know because I got a question from one of my church members the other day. It's like, you know, how do I listen to the show? So I want to make it clear. You know, usually you can listen to it live or you can keep the link, save it, listen to it later. You can email or text the link to someone else so that they can listen to it. But I usually, you know, have a list where I send out a link, or I always post it on Facebook or I post it on LinkedIn. And all you have to do is click on it, and then that's how you get to the show. So I just wanted to let everybody know that too. So also, shameless, selfish plug, Demp's Family. If you have not registered for the family reunion, this is the deadline before you have to pay a late fee. So just got to put that out there for family. But anyway, we're going to go tomorrow. We had to postpone book club for a variety of reasons. So tomorrow we are going to talk about becoming
Michelle Obama. That's tomorrow. And then Friday we have our economist on, Paul Shelton, who's going to give us an update on the economy. So just wanted to keep you all posted on that. Going to cut out a little bit early today. This is Steve's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a blessed day, everybody. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Hello? Am I on? Okay, go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah. I'm the music major.
With tears rolling down your face, with your heart feeling like it's gonna break, your earth feels like it's about to shake, when you've taken all that you can take. Just remember where your help comes from. Realize you got somewhere to run. Don't worry about what you're going through. Instead of worrying, here's what you can do. Like you.